discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor O.T. Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Wow. Can you give a mighty shout of praise to Jesus, our Savior, our King? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for your love, above all things, that you've loved us more than we deserve. You love us not because we are lovely, but because you are love. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you. This today, as we get into the word, may you speak to each one of us individually about the kind of love with which you've loved us, and calling us to a higher level of living and grace and service and ministry and all the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. What a blessing to be here. Bishop Isaac and your lovely wife, thank you for receiving us and having us. Can you help me appreciate your pastor? Hey. Wow. Otherwise, I will take him to Uganda. Because I feel like I've found a brother that I've been looking for all these years. Wow. Thank you so much. I came with some pastors from Uganda. Please stand up and wave. Yes. All these are, most of them are worship harvest pastors. There are a few who are not worship harvest pastors, but they are all pastors. So thank you so much for coming. We bless God for you. Amen. Ah, I feel like I'm home. I'm home. You agree? So we can flow. Hey. What a blessing. It's a real blessing to be here. I bring you greetings from my wife. Nowadays I have to count every time to make sure I don't get it wrong. My wife of 22 years. But if you look at her, you'll think she studies at Legon somewhere. But she couldn't come this time. But next time I come, I'm sure she's going to come. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, my wife and I and this team, God has given us the opportunity to lead Worship Harvest. It's a growing ministry. 5 years ago, we had 14 branches, and by the grace of God, in the last 5 years, we have gone from 14 to now 180 branches, because there were 175 yesterday, but today 5 new branches were started, and that's because of following anointing. So I'm so glad that Bishop Isaac and myself, we are following the men of God. When I went to the lounge, I saw that almost all the pictures on the walls are the pictures on the walls back home in our church. Yeah. So you can see that God is working. Amen. What a blessing. So 180 churches today, as of this morning, we've been building. We used to build one building for 10 years until 2020. And then from that time up to today, we have developed at least another, I think we have about 30 properties. Yeah, 30 properties that are being used, that are under use. And we thank God for that, plus many other things that the Lord is doing. Amen. But before all of that, many times people ask me, why is it that you get more out of Bishop Doug than some of us? Some of us not being Love Economy. There are some other people. I think they're online. They didn't come. Why is it that you get more out of Bishop Doug? And sometimes I just shrug it off. I say, what do you mean I'm getting more? I also don't know. But last year, I was having lunch with a friend, Pastor Jimmy, who was here last Sunday. Yes, he went to Kumasi. You missed. So I was having lunch with him, and then he's quite the prophet. He just suddenly stopped and looked at me and said, I now know why. Because I always knew the answer, but I couldn't tell it to certain people because they think you're trying to make them think a certain way. But suddenly he looked at me and said, I now know why you've succeeded in following Bishop Doug. And I asked him why, and he said, grace. He said, grace. I said, it was a moment of, you know, like how Jesus looked at Peter and said, that has flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. Because I was like, how did he figure it out? Because no one else, I've tried to mentor many pastors over the years, and they all can't figure it out, even when you tell them directly. For him, I didn't tell him, but he figured it out. I asked him, "What? How did you know that?" He said, no, I just have found out. And then he asked me, what should I do? What should I do to step into this thing that you are in? Because both of us follow Bishop. He's the one who sent me the link that led me to start following Bishop Doug. It was Pastor Jimmy. He had been following Bishop Doug a longer time than me. And I told him, listen to Andrew Womack. Yeah, that's what I told him. I told him, listen to Andrew Womack, read Andrew Womack's books. And he started listening. And a few months later, he texted me and said, I feel like I just got born again. This is a man of God with many churches and thousands of people. So the combination of the understanding of the love and grace of God together with the mission of Christ. If I say verses, are they able to put them up? Okay. So I went somewhere to preach and they told me you should send your scriptures 1 week ahead of time. So I was waiting to be told, but if you put up Romans chapter 1 verse 5, it's going to give you an idea of what happens here. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We've received two things. What are the two things we've received? Grace and apostleship. Grace and apostleship. Grace is undeserved and unmerited favor and love. Grace is really the person of Jesus Christ, but if you're looking for a working definition, when you're loved just for just, I don't know if that term exists in Ghana. Yeah, just. Yeah, God just looked at Abraham and said, follow me. Go where I'll tell you. That's grace. Grace is when God comes to you when you've not done anything. to deserve it. There's a little song we used to sing. Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. I still am found. Is the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Yes, that's grace. But also, we've received apostleship, right?
Now, I want to demonstrate this, but I'm trying to see how to do it the easiest way possible. Okay, there's a couple. Let me use a couple. The Kawesas, please come. So these are some of our pastors. They oversee our churches out of Uganda. Now, they are husband and wife. Now, we need to try this out. So grace is like the embrace. Grace. Now, apostleship is sending. So who is sending who? You are sending. Okay. Like push, like zoop. Not like that. I know you can hardly let go. So it's like apostleship. You get what I'm saying? Now you can go and sit. Apostleship is sentness. The word apostle comes from the word sent. The Greek word is apostolos. The Latin word is missio, from which you get the word missionary. It's also where you get the root word, also the word missile. You understand a missile?
Yeah.
Like military. A missile. When you hear that a missile is coming, there's going to be impact. You understand? So when I look across this room, I'm just looking at missiles. Yeah, that are going to go out, and wherever you land, whichever nation, whichever city, whichever college, classroom, hall of residence, working place, you're going to have impact because you have received apostleship. Apostleship, not all people are apostles, but not all Christians are apostles, but all Christians are called into apostleship. We are all sent. There is no unsent Christian. There is no one who is called to remain. All of us are sent. All of us are missiles. Now, missiles which just stay around. Now, you don't want the missile exploding where it's just be exploding where it's being sent. Do you understand? So, we have received grace and apostleship. And it says, this grace and apostleship is going to result into two things. The grace and apostleship is going to result into obedience to the faith among all nations. Among all nations for his name. Are we understanding? Let's imagine there are four kinds of churches in four quadrants. Yeah? Can you imagine quadrants? Quadrant, it's like you draw like Red Cross. Then top left, bottom left, bottom right, top right. You see that? Uh-huh. Now, let's say the one up is grace, the love of God, and then the one across is what? Apostleship, sentness. All right? What happens when you have, it's rare, but it can happen. Lots of grace and little apostleship. People who have, they know about love, too much love,
Oh, the love. It's lovey-dovey. But there is no ministry. There is no going out. There is no evangelism. There is no shepherding. There is no taking territory. What kind of church would that be? It will be a cozy church. You're just cozy. Comfortable. John Maxwell says, the comfort zone is a wonderful place, but nothing of significance grows there. The comfort zone is a wonderful place, but nothing significant grows there. So if you have lots of grace and little apostleship, you're going to have a cozy church, a cozy cell group, a cozy, a cozy MC, a cozy branch. All right? Now, what happens if you have a lot of apostleship but little grace? So there are churches that operate like that. They are trying to change, to win the world, but they themselves don't even love each other. Yeah. It is stressful. Stressful church, stressful cell, stressful MC, stressful everything. It's like, it's all about apostleship minus the grace. Eesh. What a shock. Now, for the 14 years that we didn't know Bishop Doug, we were cozy. We were all grace and little apostleship. At least we knew we needed to plant churches, and we were trying. Oh, by the way, you can be at a level of fruitfulness where you think you're doing well because you are not exposed. Yeah, at 14 churches, we thought we were killing it. Yeah, we're like, man, we the people. But we were a happy lot. Everything was nice, cool, lovely. Name it. I mean, if you wanted a church to go and enjoy life, it was Worship Harvest. But there was not much apostleship. So when we started following Bishop Doug, apostleship kicked in. And that's why in the last 5 years, all these things that I'm talking about have happened. Are you understanding? So, but if you have all this work minus the revelation of grace, it's going to be stressful. Because you will not know where that comes from. It's like using a phone which you don't charge. Yeah, at some point the battery is red, then it's heating up, and all of that. So, grace and apostleship. So, all grace minus apostleship is a cozy church. The people inside are happy, but the people outside are perishing. Yeah. You know, Jesus said it is finished, but it is finished for you, but not for them. Never forget that. It may be finished for you because you are in love economy. It is not finished for your classmates, your workmates, your family members who are not in Christ. It is not yet finished. So, one group is cozy, one group is straight. Okay, so this other one, all mission minus grace is stressful. It's stressful. And you will not last the distance. You may not be able to go all the way with Jesus. You know, Peter told Jesus that he loved him, and then he denied him 3 times and ran away. John always talked about Jesus as the one whom the Lord loves. He's the only one of all the disciples who was there at the cross with Mary, the mother. Only the one who focused on Jesus' love for him could make it to the cross. all the ones who boasted of their love for Jesus took off. Yeah. Too much mission, no grace, no love. So if you want to go all the way, if you want to serve God until you're 80, 90, joyful, happy, rich, impactful, you better receive the grace of God. Now, a third category would be what? Let's first start with lots of grace and lots of apostleship. What would that be? Fruitful, right? That's fruitful. Lots of grace and lots of apostleship. And I feel like right here where we are at Love Economy, that's what, this is the kind of church. Yes. I mean, even have the word love in the name. Yes. So, fruitfulness is in that quadrant of lots of grace, but also lots of apostleship. Lots of love and lots of apostleship. And then there is this other quadrant. Oh, God. They don't do evangelism. They don't do shepherding. They don't tithe. They don't give. They don't what? They don't pray. They don't shepherd. They don't have fun. Even when they decide, okay, let's do something, the preacher is angry. The congregation is angry. The worship team is angry. The drummer is angry. It's one little angry bunch. No grace, no apostleship. Why are you open? Close this church. Close it. Because it's like death. Wow. So, through him we have received grace and apostleship. Never let go of any of those two. Never let go of grace. Never let go of apostleship. Because the revelation is in both working well together. Amen.
Amen.
Now let us look at Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. And in this scripture, I'll just be trying to explain how both of these things work together. Grace and apostleship. Okay, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our next verse, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Paul is writing to Ephesians and says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Father in heaven. He's also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that he's the first among many brethren. Wow. You know, I got a revelation maybe yesterday or 2 days ago. A very powerful revelation. Should I share it with you? Here is a revelation. The people who are born again know without a shadow of a doubt that they are born again. Although you can't prove it. Yeah. You have no proof. You can't say, this phone is the proof that I'm born again. Or, you see this car here? It shows that I'm born. You don't have any external proof. Physical proof of being born again. And yet you die for it because it's really true. Yeah. Now, do you know the other thing? The people who are not born again know 100% that they are not born again. Yeah. There's no one who is not born again who is confused as to whether they might be born again or not. No. They know. And if you're here and you're not born again, you know it. Because it's a spirit, it's the deepest part of you. It's the deepest part of you. You have no doubt at all. You may even be attending church, but you know that you're not born again. Yeah. And you don't have to have physical evidence to show that we see your hairstyle and then we say, this one is born again. That's nothing to do with hairstyle. No. Yeah. But when you're not born again, you know that 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 you're not born again. Just like those of us who are born again, we know that 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 we are born again and we have a father. From whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. What a blessing. It's the deepest reason for existence. Yeah. If you're here and you have ever wanted to take your life, you don't have to do that. Because you have a father. He knows you more than your earthly parents, more than your best friends, more than anything. Yeah, he knows you more than yourself. Because he even knows your future and you don't know much of it. Am I making sense? So, that's why he says, I bow my knees to the Father. From whom the whole family, we are a family. The church is a family. The church is not a company. It's not a corporation. Yeah. The Bible says God sets the solitary in families. Which one? The church. God sets the solitary in families. God brought you here into this family. Because it is his family and he appoints parents for the families. So that's the church. The church is not a company. It's not a club. When I came in here, they didn't ask for my card. Club membership card. Well, where is the Your Love Economy card? No. What a blessing. You see, I don't know Bishop Isaac's siblings, parents, relatives, nothing. And yet, I feel I don't have any sense of distance. I feel like yeah, like we are brothers. I don't feel that I'm in a strange place.
At all.
That's the power of the cross. That God takes total strangers and makes them brothers and sisters. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he says there, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Ah. Wow. Where do you prosper? In the house of God. Yeah, and says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Those who say, I don't want to be in the church. More than 50% of all the people who got married around the same time as I did, and they no longer are in church, their marriage has also failed. Yeah. Yes. I can tell you this for free. I know you feel, you think like you're in love, but I can tell you the only thing that's going to keep that love of yours is the church. Even me, if I wasn't in the church, I would no longer be married. Yeah. Because I had a terrible marriage for 3 years. We were both born again. We both loved God and almost hated each other. And then we did the Andromach course, discipleship evangelism course. And in months, like 2-3 months, our marriage was the exact opposite of what it had been for 3 years. And it has remained that way up to today. Yeah. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Outside of the church, you see, marriage is supernatural. The moment you step out, it starts drying up. It starts wilting. It doesn't work. Let me just tell you, I know one day you're going to fall in love, or you're already in love, or you're in too much love.
Too much.
Too much. Too much. And then you'll think that love is sustained by you. And then you'll say, I no longer want to go to the church. Let me tell you, you will have started the process of killing your marriage. and the future of your family. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen practically. Yeah. Yes. God sets the solitary in families. The church is a family. This is where you get to be loved with all your crazy, your some way, but we love you. Who is that one saying that they are lovely? Chale, we know that you have issues. We know that you have issues. But we love you. Oh yeah. We love you. Church is the only place where you can be loved unconditional. Even in your own natural family. They told you, if you don't change these marks, we are going to reduce your pocket money next term. Didn't they tell you that? Hey. Your own parents. Some people are relating. Some people, they don't want us to know that their marks were going down at some point. They are pretending to... What a shock. What a shocking shock. Back to Ephesians. Ephesians, where we were, 3:14. So, verse 15. Yes. He says, from whom... He's talking about our Father. And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look at what happens next. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I don't want to dig too much into this because it's not my main focus, but he will grant you. Paul is praying. These are two prayers he prays in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. You can go and pray those prayers because they are like biblical prophetic prayers. He's praying for them that they would be granted, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, what he says next is very important. Next verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay? That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, he's going to go on and on and on and on about love. And that's where I'm going to stick. I mean, when you come to preach at Love Economy, you'd better say something about... But before I hit the love section of the scripture, I want you to go back a little bit. One verse... that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. With might. Through his spirit in the inner man. And then he connects this to love. Yeah, I know you're like, how? Wait. But I need to show it to you. Because if I don't show it to you, you will not see it. Because when you read it in pieces, it doesn't make sense. Until you see that actually the strengthening with might, is connected to love. It's connected to love. All the people who don't understand love also don't understand faith well. Or might. That's why it says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love. That's Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Or faith works through love. So what happens when there is no love? Faith wants to work. Faith wants to work, but it has no ability to work. Faith works through love. To believe, you must believe the love of the one that you believe in. Faith works through love. Faith to be healed Walk through the love, the knowledge that the one who wants to heal you loves you enough to want to heal you. Yeah. Yeah, that God is not there wondering, should I heal her or not? But she has done the following things. Maybe I should wait. No. He loves you 100% and so he wants to heal you. Now, when you understand love, miracles are going to be a natural part of your life. Miracles will not be something that you need to do push-ups for. Say, okay, there is a miracle service, everyone start doing your push-ups. No, they just happen. Amen. The other day, I went to an office to inquire on something. I just greeted them from the door. Hi, guys. This thing, etc. Am I going to get the help I need? They said, yeah. And I left. And one guy sent me a message 5 minutes later. I said, I have been having a pounding headache since morning until you came and peeped in our office and it disappeared instantly. So if you are into pounding headaches and other such things, please, the moment you stepped in this building, you stepped into a place of restoration and healing. Amen? Yes, it's true. Because faith works through love. We are not, oh God, what? No, zero. We just look at each other. And your life is better. Amen. Or you can be in a service like this. Now, the other day I was in a service like this somewhere, and I told people, you're going to receive good news on your phone. Yeah. One guy received 3 job offers in one session on the phone. 3. Yes. Not after. During. And then many others received after they started telling me. So, because faith works through love, you see that you can be in a position where your whole life is full of the goodness of God. Yeah. Like, for example, whether you believe it or not, because also I have to get to a point where now I don't rely on your faith too much. And I rely on mine. So whether you believe it or not, you're going to receive good news on your phone. Yes. This is a week of good news. You'll testify. By the time you come next Sunday, you'll be saying, what's this? Yes. Yeah. Good news. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Just good news. Oh, yes. That's what's going to happen for you. Because that's what happens for me. Amen. So you see, faith works through love. All this struggling, what? It doesn't work. Okay, it works. And the problem, it works to a certain extent because you start thinking it's what worked. So you go back into striving because it produced a little fruit. But I can tell you, the love of God is far above anything you can ever... So anyway... So I was trying to show you that this whole strength in the inner man is actually connected to love where he's sending us. Now let's go back to that verse where we were in Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. First go back to verse 16. He's praying. Remember, he's praying. It's a prayer. Don't forget, it's a prayer. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Have you seen a full stop yet?
No.
It means it's a continuing thought. Okay, continue with the thought that Christ
And he says, this is how you'll be strengthened. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith which works through love. Yeah? Semicolon. Semicolon means I'm explaining what this dwelling in your hearts through faith means. That you, being rooted and grounded in nothing else but love. Love. Rooted and grounded in love. I'm sure you've heard of something called a tree. A tree has roots. That's why it's able to stand without a lot of external helps. And the roots are in the soil. Roots play two critical roles. The first role is, not in order of priority, anchoring, so it doesn't fall over. Okay? So, by the way, every time you see a tree, the bigger the tree, the bigger the root system in the ground. Never imagine that you've seen a big tree and it has shallow roots. That doesn't exist. Yeah. So the first, one of the purposes of the roots is to anchor the tree so it doesn't kill over or fall over when there's winds and stuff like that. The second is nutrition. A tree feeds through the roots. Have you ever seen a tree with a mouth? Okay. The mouth of the tree is the roots. Let me give you a revelation. When you were born, you were about 2 to 3 kilograms. What a shock. You are about 2 to 3 kilograms. Now, we don't know. But let's say you are anywhere between 60 and 80. Yeah, average. 70, let's take 70 as the average. It means you've added 68 kilograms. Makalabra kasa kata yala baba ba. Wow! 68! Conservatively. Now, from when you were 2 kilograms to 68, I'm going to give you a revelation. All the 68 kilograms entered through your mouth.
Wow.
Yeah, no other way. You didn't add through the whatever, nothing. All, when you step on a weighing scale like this, whatever you see down there, it all came through the mouth. Yeah, there's nothing like certain places when you walk in the air, it starts attaching. No. Exactly. Yeah. The only part of you that came through the umbilical cord was the 2 kilograms. From when you got out, immediately they put you on the breast to start the mouth system of expansion. And God has been good. Yeah. Kenke. Kelewele. What else? Eh? Bagu. Aha. Fufu. Wache. Eh? Tilapia. Eh? Jollof. Through the mouth. Now remember, the mouth of the tree is the roots. The mouth of the tree is the roots. Now, and he says, you'll be strengthened with might, being rooted and grounded in love. That means that what makes you strong, imagine that from when you are born, instead of kelewele, kenke, wache, etc., jollof, the only food you've eaten is something called love. The only food you've eaten is something called love. That's why God said, this is my beloved son. In my workplace. At that time, he had done nothing. Not one miracle, not one message, not one sermon, nothing. Just submitting to being baptized. That's all. I said, 100% beloved son. So both the nutrition and the firmness, the grounding, the anchoring. So I ask you, what kind of soil are you in? Because Paul recommends that the tree should only be in a soil type. You know, there are different soil types. Loam soil, sandy soil, clay soil. I can see some of the people who dodged that lesson. They are not saying anything. Art students. They are this side. The soil type that Paul recommends is love soil. It says that you being rooted and grounded in love. Assume you're a tree. It's difficult, but it's the picture we have in the. Assume you're a tree. When you try to suck in nutrients like this from the ground, you're only sucking in love. Yeah. Like when the wind blows, that boy you thought loved you. You get a revelation that he loves someone else. But you are rooted and grounded in the Father's love for you. You just look at him and say, do you know what you're going to miss the rest of your life? Yes. Are you understanding my conversation this morning? Being rooted and grounded in love. When all the food type, you know, there are carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, minerals, what? For what? Fat and oils. Now, you, everything you eat, love. 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 When you step on the weighing scale and you look, all those kilograms are just love. Love. Full of love. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Can you imagine spiritually? You know, your body is going to need the carbohydrates, etc. But spiritually, what your spirit needs, the food. That's why I said that in your spirit, go back one verse, wherever we were in Ephesians, to be strengthened with might. In the inner man, your inner man, the food your inner man should be eating is called love. 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 Your body needs carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins. Your inner man needs love. 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 Love in the morning. Love at lunchtime. Love in the evening. Love. 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 Love snack. Everything love. Hallelujah. Rooted and grounded in love. Look, you'll never need anyone to come and encourage you and say it's going to be okay. Well, nothing. For what?
You'll be strong inside. Nothing can move you. You know, my wife, the reason she didn't come is her dad passed away. And we were nursing him in our home. He passed on in our house. And we went and buried. One person commented and said, that's the first funeral I've ever seen where there was not one tear. No one cried. Zero. Not because we didn't miss it. I mean, we were just happy. Yeah. He was 8 years old. He had done his work. We had done our work. Yeah. The rather the people who are coming to console you, you are like, behave yourself. Do you see that I'm sad like you? Don't put on that face. Be spiritual. Let's be serious. You can be strong on the inside when you receive the Father's love. Yes. Nothing can shake you. It doesn't matter what kind of bad news comes. You always see the good side of it. Amen. Verse 18. He said that being greater than God may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height. Dash. Do you know the meaning of the dash? He has run out of dimensions. He has run out of dimensions. The love of God is beyond human expression. Beyond dimensions. Now, for the art students, there is something called dimensions. Let me teach you at least so that next time you have a conversation, you're able to tell your friends. So there is the first dimension. The first dimension is distance. It's like one line. That's one dimension. Then the second dimension is area. When you add to the line length and width. So if you can mark out an area, that's two dimensions, like when you're buying your land. Okay? Now the third dimension is volume. So length times width plus height when you have buildings. Okay? So now when you see a solid object like this speaker, those are three dimensions. You see? You're doing well. Now, there's another dimension. The fourth dimension is displacement. When that the solid thing starts to shift, to move through space, that's four dimensions. That's the fourth dimension, displacement. Now, in God, there must be like more than 10,000 dimensions. And you see, we here, little human beings, we only operating with four dimensions, trying to move rockets around. That's displacement. This guy is trying to go to Mars. It's still within the four dimensions. They don't have a fifth. There's no fifth dimension on Earth. When once you enter dimension five, you've entered spiritual things like Philip, one time he's at with a eunuch, then he's at Azotus at once. Now those are different things. Those are things that are beyond science. Science only ends at four. Now, here in the scriptures, he talks about width, length, depth, height, and then realizes, what am I doing? He says, Feeling. Yeah, it's like, it's not working. Just whatever you want to feel in. Next verse. And says, to know the love of Christ. Remember, he's been talking about love. He said, being rooted and grounded in love. You may comprehend together with those. Forget it. To know, she contends with love, the love of Christ.
which is beyond knowledge. How do you know something that's beyond knowledge?
No one will ever wake up one day and say, I have known the love of God. No. Just when you think you are about to know the love of God, he opens one more page of his love and says, God. They say, this is not fair to the other people. They are going to look at me and think that I've bribed you. Honestly, I think that sometimes I feel like people think that I may have bribed God. Yeah, what are you doing to God? Why does he do all these things for you? You see, for me, every day when I wake up in the morning, all of heaven, they have already arranged every blessing that I need for that day. It's like lined up. Everything. Angels, what? Resources. Everything I need from when I wake up until I go to bed. And then the next, and I'm sure, I think they arrange them like a year ahead of time. Even this weekend, I was intending to go with the guys to tour different places. And then I fell sick. I didn't have enough energy to even get out of my room. So I decided to stay and sleep. I slept Friday. I slept all of the yesterday, during the day. I've never done this before. I slept last night. Yeah. So it's like I've been sleeping the sleep of the ages. And I'm like, He giveth sleep to whom he loves. So even that, it was a trick. He knew I'm not going to have the sleep I need. Sleep. Sleep weekend. Wow. And I'm happy. Understand the love of God, everything works for you. Even what looks like a bad thing, it works for you. Yeah. I believe everything works for me. I'm not here by accident. I'm in this room exactly according to the Father's will. And you who are here listening to me, we are all in the Father's will. There is something God wants for you. That's why he brought us in the same space today. Yeah. All the people that maybe it won't benefit them, they were kept away. Yeah. Let me tell you, I used to be a broke boy. Huh? Very broke. Extremely broke. And one time I went to a program, and there was a guy there just almost lecturing. Just lecturing. He wasn't even a preacher, but he came to preach. He lectured for 1 hour. By the time he finished, I knew I was broke. Yeah, it had never occurred to me how broke I was. Now, in school, I studied architecture. I designed buildings. That's what I started to do. And apparently, architects are not supposed to be broke. But I was one thoroughly broke architect. And that one encounter changed my life. I started reading about money and how money works. I wrote books about money. I'm no longer broke. By the grace of God, I left brokenness. But it took one lecture. So some of you, maybe it takes one. Look, when I listened to Bishop Doug the first time, it was just a link. Look what has happened to my life. I can't even imagine. You see, you can see that God is all the time preparing big packages for me every day. And for you, it's just that you may not be cognizant of it. Or you don't even want to think like that. But from today, the whole idea of life being a struggle, it ends. It ends in Jesus' name. Now, to know the love of Christ,
which passes knowledge. Remember where we started? Yeah, he's praying. And he says something incredible. I pray the Holy Spirit will plant this thought in your heart forever. Look what he says. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, let me show you another verse, then I'll come back here. John 1:16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. It's all about Jesus. Of his fullness. Don't be there thinking you only have Jesus' toe or whatever. No. Of his fullness, you are full of Christ. You see, the devil can only succeed against you when he convinces you you don't have enough of Christ. That's why I started by telling you that people who are born again, they know 100% that they are born again. Now, you can't be born again with 20% of Christ. No, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us that we may know that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, now all things are new. Now, verse 18. Now all things are of God. The new things, all of it is God. On the inside of you, in your spirit. It's in light of this that you have to understand John 1:17. Of his fullness. Not some people. Not the pastors. We have all received. And grace for grace. It's by grace. Now, take me back to Ephesians 3. To know the love which that you may be filled. Now, is there water in this bottle? I want one with a little bit less. Now, we have received the fullness. Do you understand that? We have received the fullness, but we may not be filled with the fullness. Let's assume the water is the fullness of Christ. But is the bottle filled? No. He says that you may be filled with all the fullness. Now, we all have received the fullness. That's in our spirit. In your spirit is wall-to-wall God. 100% your spirit, but your spirit, soul, and body. But your 100% God in your spirit may not be affecting your soul. Therefore, you're gloomy when you should be happy. You're not joyful. You are not experiencing peace. Your wisdom levels are questionable by the decisions you're making. Even though you have the fullness of God in your spirit, it hasn't entered your soul, much less your body healing. Then your economy, your finances, your relationships, your everything, your studies. For the fullness of God, the life of God to enter every part of you, it comes through knowing the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may know the love of Christ which passes that, so that you may be filled. The fullness of God in your marriage comes through. I told you I had a terrible marriage 3 years. I know what it means to be in a bad marriage. Yes. I sat down and cried by myself without anyone touching me because of marriage. Oh, yes. But when the love of God comes in, then you see the life of God entering your marriage, the life of God entering your friendships, the life of God entering your ministry, entering your cell, entering your academics. By the grace of God, in high school, when we, I don't know whether what happens here in Ghana, in our country, you do a national exam at the end of high school before university. Yeah. My mother died 2 weeks before that exam. And I wasn't even doing well in school. Can you imagine? It's like double tragedy. You already know you're going down. And then my mother passed on. And she's all I had. My dad died when I was only 8 years old. Do you know what God did when the exams, when the results came back? I was the fourth best in the whole country. Wow. Now, my expectations, you're clapping for God, not me, because I know that nothing was going to come out of me. So, when I talk about God, I'm not talking about an idea. When I'm talking about the love of God, I'm not talking about, because I know that there is nothing I did to deserve going from being a non-entity academically to being fourth best. Or that for me, my marriage to go from a painful experience to what it is today. Or the ministry growing and multiplying. It's the love of God. And he says that once you know it, you will be filled. You will be filled. Those who are students, are there any students here? You will be filled with all the fullness of God. Faith working through love. Grace and apostleship. Now, it's in the context of this revelation, which I now know you have possessed, that the next verse is spoken, which is often spoken wrongly and out of context by many people. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that... Are you seeing how he's able to do that? Because now we are filled with all the fullness of God, he's able to do it according to the power that works in us. Where's the power coming from? Being the love is filling us with the fullness of God, and then we are able to do what he can do. Oh. Wait. I hope you're understanding this. Now that we are filled with all the fullness of God, watch what God is going to do. The days of just being a little Christian who is barely making it through the world and being oppressed by I don't know whatever are over. Once we are filled with the fullness of God, we say to this situation, sit down, and it sits down. We say to this thing, go there, and it goes. Why? Because we are filled with the fullness of God. When everyone was panicking on that boat in the middle of the storm, Jesus didn't wake up to pray. He got up and said, calm down. Because he was filled with the fullness of God. That's how you're going to command situations and say, hey, calm down, get up, arise, move quicker. When you feel, the whole thing of doing exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine is based on us understanding the love of God. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you that you know everyone here by name. Thank you that you've called us into this love that you have for us, that you're doing exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. I pray, Father, that you will exceed the expectations of everyone who came today by your love, by your power, because we know that you are more than able to do it. There's nothing too hard for you. Can you just open your mouth and pray in the Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, your love is exceeding. Your love is exceeding. Your love is exceeding. God is going to exceed your expectations. Somebody, that's God's word to you. You've been going through a season of disappointment, questioning, wondering. Someone has even asked the question, God, where are you? God is telling you, I'm with you. I'm with you to help you. I will exceed your expectation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Love Economy. Thank you for this work. Thank you for the multiplication. Thank you for the properties. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Yes, Lord. I see like crowns of wisdom settling on people's heads. Crowns of wisdom. You shall be known to be among the wise men and women of your generation. In your school, in your family, in your workplace. Receive wisdom. Receive wisdom. Yes, receive wisdom. The Bible declares the Holy Spirit as the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.